Transfiguration of Jesus follows the passion predictions in the Gospels. Its impact is always to set the passion and the prophecy of Jesus' passion in the context of glory. This is most fully developed in John, where the theme of manifesting his glory recurs throughout the whole gospel. And the focus of that glory is certainly the resurrection, but it is also the crucifixion and, as is clear later in the story, of Jesus' ascension. The theme in this story is that Moses and Elijah are talking with Jesus about his departure. Well, Jesus' departure is, first of all, his departure from Galilee on his journey to Jerusalem, which begins in Luke's story shortly after this transfiguration narrative in 951. But it is continued then in the story of his crucifixion, of his resurrection, and ascension, which is the end of Luke's story in the gospel. So the departure refers, in all probability, to all of those elements of Jesus' departure from Galilee, his departure from the world in his death, his departure to heaven in the ascension. In the background of this story is Sinai and the transfiguration of Moses. In Exodus 35:29-35, Moses' face shone because he had been talking with God. And there is also an allusion in this story to Elijah's departure into heaven in 2 Kings, where Elijah is taken up in a fiery chariot. So these stories of the great prophets of Israel are part of the background against which then this story of Jesus is told. This is a highly dynamic story, full of surprises. Jesus' transfiguration is a surprise. The appearance of Moses and Elijah, the disciples nearly asleep, but managing to stay awake, and Peter's bumbling response offering to build three booths, the cloud and their terror in entering it, the voice of God, and then Jesus being there alone. This is full of those moments of wonder and surprise. And so in the telling of this story, you want to emphasize those moments because this story has many of those. The voice of God here is the first time that God has spoken since the baptism. And part of what this story communicates is that Jesus is the Messiah, yes, but he is more than the Messiah. He is God's Son, and he is the one who will who makes God present in the world. The story begins with Jesus taking them up on the mountain and where he was praying. And as he was praying, he was transfigured. The implication is that he was transfigured by the presence of God on the mountain, that in turn elicits the memories of Moses being on the mountain, talking with God, and of his face shining. Suddenly, and that's the way it is in the story, it is suddenly a big surprise. Moses and Elijah appeared. These are luminaries, interesting word. That is, people through whom God's light shone, and from whom God's light emanates. Jesus appeared in glory, and they were talking, these three heroes of Israel, about his departure. Moses and Elijah had each had memorable departures. Moses at the mountain overlooking the promised land, Elijah in a flaming chariot. So, they could talk about departures. So they were apparently helping Jesus plan his departure, which is, as we know from the rest of the story, very complex. Peter's offer to make three booths, one for Jesus and one for Moses and Elijah, comes after they are weighed down with sleep but had managed to stay awake. This is a distinctive motif in the Transfiguration stories. It is reminiscent of Gethsemane, where their eyes were weighed down. And in that instance, there was a very clear reason why. That is, they had just eaten the biggest meal of the year, and there were, you know, 5 cups of wine were the mandatory cups of wine, and that was only the beginning of the wine that would be drunk at the Passover. So they had good reason to be sleepy on Passover night. There's no apparent reason for why their eyes would be weighed down here, except that they are in the presence of God, presence of holiness. But they managed to stay awake, in contrast to their failure to stay awake in Gethsemane. It may be that this is a sign of divine testing, but it is unclear in the story. His offer to build booths is reminiscent of the Festival of Booths, which was the probably the most joyous festival of the year in Israel. And his offer to build 3 booths is probably told as a kind of bumbling fool statement, you know, which Luke then explains, you know, he didn't know what to say, and it's probably told as a note of humor. And it's part of the characterization of Peter as an everyman kind of character who would be intimidated by the presence of these 3 great men and really wouldn't know what to say. It's something that all of us can identify with. If you want to create that atmosphere of Peter, you know, saying, would you like for us to build 3 booths, you know, one for you and one for Moses and, you know, one for Elijah. So, however you can find to do that, but some hesitation and nervousness and dumbness on Peter's part is fully appropriate here. The cloud is also reminiscent of Exodus and of Moses on the mountain. The cloud came down over the mountain. Moses walked into the cloud. The disciples are terrified walking into the cloud, which was appropriate to walk onto the into the unknown of the presence of the Holy One. That feeling is explicitly described in Daniel 10, 7 and 8, where he sees this vision of a divine figure and describes in detail his interior responses to that. So that might be a place to find some analogy to what is being described here that would give you a sense of how to tell it. The voice from the cloud is the voice of God, and the storytelling decision is whether this voice is big and loud or whether it's soft. It's probably not as soft as Elijah's experience at Horeb in the cave, where it seems to me that God is whispering into Elijah's ear. Here it's more of a pronouncement that the disciples are expected to hear, so it is not whispered into their ears. But it is not the great voice that makes the earth shake. It is a gentle, I'd say quiet, voice of God saying, "This is my son, my chosen one." The Greek word there, ekklelomenos, means to be called out. So this is also Jesus calling, and of God calling him by his divine names. So Jesus here is also called by God. And when they come out of the cloud, of course, they see only Jesus. And the implication is that now one greater than Moses and Elijah has taken their place. It is a moment of quiet. It is a moment of a kind of awe. at this extraordinary revelation of Jesus' identity. The points of connection with this story are both, you know, the experiences of holiness we have had, and also the experiences like those of, like that of Peter and James and John, of being either intimidated or of feeling unworthy in the context of presence of God and of a call to be present at those moments.